Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
Weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
I am so happy.
I see that. You again with the Red Bull?
No. Yeah. I am just happy because almost everything.
Happy to be alive?
I'm very happy to be alive. Things are going very well across the board.
Yes.
But just a few more bugs to crush and everything will be fine. I'm happy
cockroaches.
Yeah, worse than cockroaches. Mm. Yeah. Moralist cockroaches. So listen to this.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years ago, okay. I said this. It went on record.
Yeah.
I said when the Big O is done being El Presidente, yeah, he's going to become the UN Secretary General.
Yeah.
Because he's got the funny name and everything. Right?
Right.
Okay. Well, American Thinker just ran an article that Obama is setting himself up, the whole thing with Israel, the Middle East, and everything. He's setting himself up so when his presidency's done, he's going
to
be king of the world. He will be UN Secretary General.
Wow.
All right, I want to thank Dave Sofair for sending me the article. Dave, I read American Thinker every day, and I grabbed it already, but thank you so much for giving me the heads up for it. But I said it. If we could go back, Gun for Hire Radio shows, it was 3 years ago at least that I said.
Yeah, I remember
it was in
that.
Belleville.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I said the Big O is going to become UN Secretary General because he's got the cuckoo kaka name or whatever else. Because you have to have a weird name to be the UN Secretary General, right?
Like coffee?
Yeah, have Kofi Annan and all the other names and shit. We have a guest in the studio today, Charles Padula. What's up, Charlie?
How you doing it?
Charlie's an instructor here. He teaches the Utah class. Yeah.
How you doing, Ann? Yeah, what
here?
Am I?
You're a radio guy.
Watch what happens now with the radio guy. Press the button and you disappear for some reason.
Poof.
I don't know.
Nice. So, Charlie teaches our reloading classes here. He teaches our Utah class here. He's also our gunsmith here. He maintains the guns here. And he's also our resident expert when it comes to guns. And a little twist, I've been getting emails from students, followers, listeners, and as the show progresses, when we get into learning and stuff, we're going to be leaning on Charlie. We're going to talk about ammo today, as opposed to guns. Let's talk about ammo. But a couple of things I want to talk about before we get into it. So welcome, Charlie. I'll be away for a few days for the NRA annual meeting in Nashville, Tennessee. People, the NRA convention attendees are grumbling because on Saturday night they have a big arena event and there's no guns allowed in the Bridgestone Arena.
Mm.
But they're allowed in the open air centers when you walk around and the show centers and everything. This happens almost every year.
Yeah.
It's usually just a local ordinance, the cops, because anywhere there's alcohol served or something, they want to be cautious. But what's really got my goat is a lot of local businesses are hanging signs. You mentioned this last week. Mm. They're hanging signs saying firearms are not allowed here. Well, F you to them.
Because they're scared of guns. Because the gun people will not go in there.
There's going to be 80 to 100,000 of us.
What kind of an idiot would
I talked
do that?
About it when I was at, where's the Arch? St. Louis?
Yeah.
When we were in St. Louis, the NRA gives signs to local businesses where it says, we welcome the NRA convention, and they put it in their window. So I would go into any business that had that. And when I was talking to the servers and stuff, they told me they felt safer, and they couldn't believe what a respectful lot the 100,000 of us were.
Same in Pittsburgh, too.
Remember that? So F you to these businesses that don't want us. They're going to suffer.
Very foolish.
They're really going to suffer. Yeah. Listen, how many people have gone on a rampage carrying guns at an NRA convention in the last 30, 40 years?
Let me look it up. Zero.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Zero. So F you to those businesses. I will be doing some photo bombs and stuff while I'm there, I'm sure. I will be making
some there's
going to
be protesters. You always have
there
fun
always
with
is.
The protesters.
There always is. I antagonize the protesters. Yeah. I usually light a cigar and walk through them with Gun for Hire shirts on.
You walk
on
back
stuff.
And forth.
I know. That's how the press grabbed me the last time in Indianapolis.
Yes, right.
Because I was
Pittsburgh
I was antagonizing. I like to stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah, no one would ever guess.
Somebody called me vindictive yesterday. I took it as a compliment.
Yeah, well, that's true.
We have a special guest on the show next week, Sandy. Alexander Rubian is coming on the show.
Oh, great.
Alexander took over the helm. He's El Presidente of the New Jersey Second Amendment Society. He took over, and he wants to come on the show and update us. There's a thing getting a lot of press coverage now in New Jersey. Alexander has single-handedly started this, and now with massive volunteers is carrying it on. He's doing what they did in Colorado. He started a full-scale recall against Steve Sweeney.
Nice.
Sweeney went on the news saying, bring it on.
Did he really?
Yes, he said, bring it on. Okay.
Wow.
New Jersey has never successfully recalled any elected official.
It's a heavy Democrat.
Now, Alexander feels that he's got the hooks to do this, and I'm going to back him and support him with it. So he's going to come on next week's show. But you guys can Google Recall Sweeney, and you'll see the sites. He's going to be looking for
donations and volunteers. He's got the juice to do it.
Because he learned from the people who orchestrated the Colorado recall.
Yeah. Okay.
And that means a lot.
That was
purely
grassroots, too.
This is going to be all grassroots, too. He needs 35% or 25% of the registered voters to sign the petition. So they're going to be boots on the ground down there getting signatures. And
Does it have to be just in his district?
Okay. His district. Yeah. And it can be done. But he's going to need some legwork. He's going to need some
donations.
It's
a heavy Democrat. I mean, it's a heavy Democrat district the way virtually every other district is in New Jersey. But they tend to be more conservative Democrats than the
correct. And he's gone back on his word quite a few times. He said he wasn't going to push for 10 Round Magazine, and what happened? He met with the Newtown tragedy parents, and then he reneged and he pushed for the 10 Round Magazine. And then he's also managed to piss off almost the entire Rutgers alumni.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole state.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who are very big in the Democratic Party who cannot stand Sweeney. Just because of that he's made a lot of backroom deals and, surprise, surprise, a New Jersey politician.
Now, I want to give Alexander kudos for having the stones to do
this.
Now, if we lose, we're going to lose big. We're going to have a huge enemy who may be governor.
Yes.
If we win, it will send shockwaves through the status
which
quo
is why for a change we probably have to rally together all of the
all
gun
of
owners in New Jersey and outside of New Jersey to be able to do this,
and I'm going to be helping him any way, shape, or form I can. Next week there'll be a call to action when he comes on a show.
Alright, we're coming right back with Charlie. Are we going to be talking about reloading when we come back?
Sure.
Alright. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick. But just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at LipstickBodyguard.com.
Why am I getting a finger now?
No, I had a small booger stuck to my finger. I flicked it on you.
We really don't need to know any of that.
This segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHRO.
Charlie, do you feel bad for me?
Yeah. WaldorfChiropractic.com in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric has published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. Dr. Eric supports us. Doc, we're going to need your support with this recall, Sweeney.
I support Dr. Eric in his book, but chiropractic cannot help you, dude.
No, I need more than that. I might need I need electrolysis.
Couch time.
Not electrolysis?
With not electrolysis. No, maybe electroshock therapy would help.
We're working on that.
Or just lessen the Red Bulls before you come in the studio.
Dr. Eric, the challenge, you're going to go on to the Spartan race with us September 13th. It's on the Gun for Hire homepage. Dr. Eric, you lost 160 pounds.
Dude, he's hiding from you.
Spartan race. Come on the show and talk about it. Come on, Dr. Eric. Listen, if you haven't registered for Team Gun for Hire, no shame. On a Spartan race, that's what the name of it is. It's called Team Gun for Hire, No Shame. Yeah, it's a personal thing that I'll be announcing on September 13th. Which already the shirts are made. Not T-shirts. Whoever signs up under Team Gun for Hire, No Shame is going to get two competitor shirts. One to ruin that day, one to keep afterwards. And Gun for Hire is paying for an entire after party at Minerals Resort.
Nice.
Food, drinks, and everything.
Massages?
No, but we're running a Spartan race from 10 to 3, and then from 4 to 8, Sandra Muldoon from the Saw Group booked minerals for me. Nice. She cut the check already, and the first 100 people under Team Gun for Hire, No Shame, are going to get to come, and we're going to be giving out some awards and trophies, like best improved. And it's going to be a great day. And again, everybody who signs
when
up...
When is this?
September 13th.
September 13th.
And it's a Sunday, and everybody that signs up for it, that competes, win, lose, or draw, I'm going to be contributing a minimum of $10 per person to the SAW group as well.
Well, where do they go to sign up?
They right on the Gun for Hire page. There's a link for the Spartan race, Team Gun for Hire, No Shame. You click on the page, there's full directions how to register and everything.
Sweet.
Okay?
Very good.
It's going to be really good. We're dedicating the show to the race to Two Shit Birds 07/27/2011.
Nice.
We'll get into that
very odd dedication
when I get a chance. Yes. Charlie, before we get into you, we have a listener, Sandy, William Dalpy. He's been listening to us. He's from Rehoboth, Massachusetts. He's been listening to us forever.
I'm sorry.
No, he hasn't.
I'm just apologizing.
He sent me a free gift, and he goes, he took my
NRA.
He's
been listening this long, and he sends you a gift?
Sent me a big gift. He goes, "Hi, Anthony. I hope all is well. Ever have those nights where you can't sleep? It's 1 a.m., and I'm typing you a letter. There must be something wrong with me." Oh, definitely. He wrote, "Anyway, in case you forgot who I am, I took the NRA training counselor class in November 15, and I'm also the guy who sent you an email that you read on the radio show. I remember you, brother." But anyway, he wrote his own book, and I read it from cover to cover, and it's available on bookblues.com. And he wrote, "Hi, Sandy and Jimmy. I hope to make it there soon to see you guys." But Sandy, his book is called After the Bell Rings, Giving Kids the Tools They Need to Stay Safe, A Field Guide to Situational Awareness.
Wow, how neat.
And I read it cover to cover. Wow. And William, you did it. It's an easy read. And there's just so many jewels of information in here. Okay?
If you are a parent of school-age kids, this is fantastic.
You know, and this is the one. He sent me this email a while ago. Remember about the 15-year-old boy in the community that was picked up while walking after school and was molested. Yes, a 15-year-old boy, but he had an overwhelming urge to help the teens in the community, so he met with the superintendent of schools and the assistant and proposed to teach the NRA Refuse to Be a Victim seminar. Since money's tight in their community, he offered to do the whole thing free of charge, and of course they rejected it because it was attached to the NRA.
Mm.
So he wrote this book, and it's really good. William Dalpy, D-A-L-P-E. The book is After the Bell Rings, Giving Kids the Tools They Need to Stay Safe, A Field Guide to Situational Awareness. And there's stuff in here on how to cover social media, being home alone, out at the mall, at a friend's house, a prom, having friends over, taking a bus, walking alone, and much, much more. Let me tell you something. Kudos. He did a wonderful job on this, and he's Gun for Hire alumni. So, Sandy, I'm going to give – you want to read it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't read. I'll keep it here.
Now, if – again, where can they get the book?
They can get the book right here on this piece of paper. Right now, the book is available through me or Book Blues. Bookblues.com.
Spell that.
Okay. BookBlues.com. Okay. And it's called After the Bell Rings. William Dalpe, D-A-L-P-E. Thank you, William, and I hope to see you down here soon. So that's pretty cool. Again, next week we're going to have Alexander on from NJ2AS. I'm going to meet with him. I'm going to be at the NRA convention 4 days. I think I have 85 meetings with people. Unbelievable. By the way, Scott Bach and Joe DeBurgelis were both reelected to the NRA board.
Excellent.
I supported them. I think I'm going to make an end run this year again, and they're going to back me. Very I'm probably not going to be nominated by the nominated committee. Anybody out there who's not a life member or a member 5 years or more in good standing, get your shit together now because I'm going to need your votes. Okay? A couple other things I want to talk about before we get into Charlie. We have some Democrats proposing a $2,000 tax credit if you turn in your assault rifle. Charlie, how cheap can we build a bone stock AR? I mean, Jimmy, we would usually ask this question, but how cheap can we build an AR for?
Less than 500.
So you're telling me.
I see this one coming.
So you're telling me we could build a legitimate rifle for $500, and then I could get a $2,000
tax credit.
Well,
wait a minute now. Technically, the AR is the lower. So all
yeah, but they're going to want a working gun.
They want a working gun.
That's okay. Huh. So what do you guys think? What do you think?
I like
making $1,500 on each one. Good.
How? What's the biggest rider van we can get to transport them up to Connecticut?
Well, I don't know how many they're going to let you turn in for a credit. Oh.
Well,
you we could ruin them.
What does it really matter? We'll bus people in.
Imagine this, Charlie. A $2,000 tax credit. This is big.
Well, you know, this is kind of interesting, too, because number one, this is going to do absolutely nothing, zero. And you, Charlie, as a law enforcement officer, know this. This is not going to gun buyback programs are just bullshit. And, you know, although there might be, a little bit of sanity to this, because just the other day, you know, tax season is coming up, and I was standing outside the H&R Block trying to get in to get my taxes done, and all the freaking gangbangers, I mean, between the Bloods and the Crips and the Latin Kings, all standing in line getting their taxes processed. I couldn't even get in the door. So maybe she's right, you know. I mean, most of these gang members do file their taxes on time, and they're good, upstanding citizens. So
listen to what this Connecticut legislator says, DeLauro.
Idiot.
Representative Rosa DeLauro.
Idiot.
Assault weapons are not about hunting or even self-defense, DeLauro said. There is no reason on earth other than to kill as many people as possible in short
points
time
from
as
Bloomberg.
Possible.
Yep.
Though DeLauro is in favor of stronger gun laws that would completely ban assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition. Okay, ban assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition.
Charles, you are an expert in guns. Have you ever heard of high-capacity ammunition?
No. That's a new one on me.
It's a new one. It must be something just invented this week.
I want this to pass. I want to...
Yeah, as long as you don't... all you poor slobs who live in the state of Connecticut, get ready to get it up the keister because...
No, this should be a federal law.
Oh, it should be.
I want a $2,000 tax credit for every assault weapon I turn in.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this,
Absolutely.
Actually.
Yeah, because, I mean, why limit it to one? There's going to be no limit to that.
Another one. Charlie, you can listen to this, too. This is really, really good. This was in The Economist, Sandy, and I read this front to back, Why the Gun Lobby is Winning.
Oh, wait a minute. So we've got a British publication talking about American gun laws.
Okay.
That should have been interesting.
Correct. But one of the angles in The Economist, you know, obviously the NRA, they make fun of the NRA being a deep-pocketed group with 5 million members. If I was on the NRA board and they would let me tackle inner city and minorities, we would have 10 or 12 million members in the NRA. But we'll see about that. But, you know, the NRA is so good at whipping Washington politicians into line. But one of the trends they talk about is most Americans are for gun control of some way or shape or form, but they don't want to lose their guns for self-defense.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. I mean, the way you word a survey will have everything to do with the outcome. You structure a survey if you know how to write a survey.
Of course.
Based on the answers you want. And that's typically the people doing the survey are the people like the Bloombergs who know very well how to structure surveys.
I want to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. There's some good jewels in here that I can make fun of.
Absolutely. A British publication talking about American gun rights. They lost there.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
Freedom. Oh, for the people.
This segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Support Ron Sousa. Ron Sousa has 38 offices and meeting rooms, and he has a meeting party room that'll hold 70 people in Montville, New Jersey. And again, he offers his space available for free to us. He lets the Soil Group use it to host events and have parties. Support those who support us. If you have a loser nephew, uncle, friend, or someone that's working out of a coffee shop or something like that, and they need a professional environment to work out of, check out MontvilleOffice.com or Facebook Montville Executive Suites. Ron is the man. For as little as $58 a month, you can get your ass out of your mother's basement and have a professional front where you can meet people and talk and close deals and maybe make some money and have your mom stop doing your laundry and packing your lunch for you.
Or the other way around, if you've got a big, heavy, expensive office burden and you really don't need that anymore because you've sized down, or you're moving toward the retirement, you've got the same deal going. If you're a one-man band, that's one thing. But with virtual officing today, you can have people all over the country, and you don't need to house them all in the same room.
Great, great angle, Sandy. MontvilleOffice.com. So this article in The Economist talks about how some argue that arming female students will deter rapists. Yes, it will, okay? But they talk about how it would create danger if people were carrying guns on campus.
Right.
And they talk about constitutional carry, how constitutional carry is now in Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Vermont, Wyoming. It just passed in Kansas. Lawmakers are introducing it in West Virginia and Montana, okay?
And why is this a bad thing?
Okay, Montana, a Democrat in his final term vetoed the bill, but they're going to reintroduce it, okay? So it's coming. And Maine is also weighing a constitutional carry bill as we speak. But forget this now. USA Today had an article yesterday that contentious debate over guns expected soon in Congress. Knappen talked about this, okay? Mm. Mitch McConnell and the other Republicans that got elected said that if they were elected, they were going to start pushing federal carry.
Well, Mitch McConnell is a progressive Republican.
I agree, Sandy, but they're under a lot of pressure from many states to get
a unified carry bill. That changes.
Well, let's see what happens, okay? But they're talking about a lot of politicians are going to be speaking in Nashville. A lot of them are presidential hopefuls, okay? And if they're not presidential hopefuls, like the big man in New Jersey, he knows he's not going to be the president, but I bet you he'd love to be the attorney general.
Well, he...
Tell me. Hey, I bet... I guarantee you he'd love
You just lost everybody under 35.
And I bet you he'd love to be... Google that. Hey, Abbott.
Yeah.
I think he'd love to be attorney general.
You think so?
Yeah, he's not Prez or VP material, but he'd be a good agent. You know what he'd... I'll tell you what he'd be really good at.
Taste testing?
I'll tell you what Christie would be really good at. I would be proud of him.
Yeah, what?
Make him Secretary of State.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine him? He'd go. He'd get the Middle East and the Jews together, and he'd
we'd
go.
Be at war.
Cut the shit out. I'm not handling this shit anymore. You talk to him. You talk to him. Over.
It's lunchtime.
Yes, I'm telling you right. He said that yesterday. Yesterday he had a town hall meeting, and they gave him shit. Some of the people in the audience said that, you know, you're too brash and you're too much of a bully. And he had the balls to say, well, sometimes when he's speaking, he hasn't eaten or slept all day. He said this. I'm quoting him, all right? Who sleeps all day and who gets to eat all day? Anyway, Sandy, listen.
He's
we have
too
a
much
lot
of a bully.
Knappen talked about this. We have 44 states with right to carry. Uh-huh. We have more and more states falling with constitutional carry, all right? Congress is going to be addressing this national carries, the LEOSA bills for retired cops and everything. We can see a national reciprocity. I can see
in
it
in our
happening.
Lifetime, you think?
I can see it within the next year or two. I'm telling you right now. Listen, the Supreme Court in California is going to rehear Peruta. Not the Supreme Court, the district court.
District
is going to rehear Peruta.
Is that the Ninth District?
The Ninth District. They're going to rehear Peruta. They said that they didn't like the last decision. They decided to hear it again. Okay. Yes, so I think the tide is starting to turn. Listen, we have legislation introduced in February by Democrats, including three from Connecticut, to ban magazines. Bullshit. All right. An NRA-backed proposal from Senator John Cronin, Texas, that would treat concealed weapons permits like driver's license. All right. These are
which
bills.
Is really what it should be.
Yes.
I mean, it's so we you know, it's not like we have a country that is twice the size of Europe, and you have. It's not uncommon for us to get into a car or a truck or over-the-road truckers who now you have to stop at state lines and change the way you're carrying your firearm. It's crazy.
Listen, we have Marco Rubio from Florida and Jim Jordan from Ohio. They introduced legislation to repeal the District of Columbia's gun control laws. All right. We also have several proposals to deal with outdoorsmen. Those include measures to exempt ammunition from EPA regulations. Okay. That's big.
That's a big one.
That's big. All right. For many outdoor activities and stuff. This was sponsored by Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. All right. Who they don't want the government up their butt with this stuff. A House bill to expand background checks died. Okay. They always talk about background checks are the first line of defense.
Yeah, this loophole crap.
Yeah, that's Peter King from New York.
Yeah,
he's a SAFE Act guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, Sandy, with all that's bubbling at the surface, okay, we're going to see a fight in Washington, D.C. And again, Barack is worried about becoming the cuckoo guy of the. Yeah, he right, wants to get those the diplomatic plates and stuff of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, he already got a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, his first weekend, which had that turnout. We are now at war with pretty much everyone.
Correct. I only have a couple of short letters today, and I want to get the letters done. Then we can get it to Charlie with the important stuff. I got a letter here from, okay. Roger Yonkin. All right, Roger. This I knew I was going to get my PP whacked. Anthony. At age 76,
I'm just making a very good point.
I own more guns than the average person, have hunted and shot target and competition since age 4, and shot over 25,000 rounds a year. And I am a liberal Democrat. There are so many thousands liberal Democrat gun owners. My point is we have enough enemies. Why specifically try to antagonize friendlies by calling us names? Moi? Okay. It is bad enough living under the yoke of Anti-Gun New York, a state I love. I continue to enjoy your blog. Keep it up. May Gun for Hire be free from tigers. You may use my name. Roger Yonkin. Thank you, Roger. Roger, I slip. I should really say progressives. I really shouldn't say liberals.
You sit across the table from a liberal.
Yes, I have so many members and supporters of the range that have ACLU cards and NRA cards in their same wallet and purse.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So, Roger, don't take it personal. I just use the term loosely all the time.
Yeah, and I think we have to make a definition. Definitely have to make an effort to define because
Sandy's fault. Go ahead.
You know, the big thing is the fact that if we've got folks out there, and we do have by the tens of thousands, like Roger, they're the guys that are going to have the ear of the anti-gun Democrat politicians. Now, one of the big problems with the Democrat Party is the Democrat Party is leaning so far left that it is into that progressive era, and this is Republicans also. Remember, folks, that progressives are all about control.
Control,
they're
correct.
Controlling you, and they will do it a slice at a time, the old salami tactic. That's what progressivism is. It is not coming in all at the same time and grabbing it. It is just doing it very slightly, a bit at a time, moving that Overton window slightly. So where we all fall into what happened in Britain. But it is not liberals. I'm a classic liberal. I want the government the hell out of my life. Don't tell me. Don't constantly invade. Tell me where I can build my shed, where I can walk on my property, who I can marry, who I can't marry. Why is the government involved in any of this? And it's the same with whether I can protect my life and my family's life or not. So I think if we were to get all of... And Roger, I think here's a call to action for you. Why not get all of the Democrat gun owners you know and create an organization that represents your wishes and make those known to the politicians who are literally voting against your best interest all the time? I know for a fact that they're going to listen closer than they are to a bunch of right-wing gun nuts.
Yes. This is my... So, again, Roger, we still love you. Roger. Roger, I still love you. Haha, I said it 4 times. All right, last letter. This segues right into Charlie. Chris Kent. Ant, what a weekend. It was great to see you in Winston Saturday, however briefly. I had a run as I just finished sighting in a new scope on the 50-yard range and was almost late for the cane class. The Atenzia cane class was a grand slam. The secret sauce was instructor-to-student ratio. We had 14 students and 7 instructors.
Always.
The techniques were explained and demonstrated. We then paired up with another student. We got one-on-one instruction and helped fine-tuning the techniques. Most of the class had physical issues and used a cane routinely. The instructors taught us how to adapt the techniques to maximize our abilities and work around our weaknesses. We were required to change partners so we could experience working with people of different sizes and builds. Great stuff. A defensive cane 2 class was mentioned. I will be there. Gun for Hire class quality is second to none. There was 14 guys. Most of the guys used canes, okay? I want to continue with the cane class, and then we're going to get into ammo.
You know, you'll find that all the time with anything that Carl Atenzia does. It's the fact that he's got, he brings an army of people in. Everything I do gonna be fine.
time, and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
All right, put that away. We're back.
Come on.
Just put it away.
Okay, so we had 14 students, 7 instructors. So when we broke them up into pairs, we had 7 groups with 7 instructors. So there was 3 people in a group. And then we switched everybody around so they all worked with different people. A lot of the guys, we had a couple older guys, a couple guys with medical issues who, again, like Chris said, used canes routinely, so they had to sit and rest or whatever. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can bring a cane anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah,
anywhere. Like that, right? We also went over cane choices. Guys brought an eclectic mix of canes. We had hardwood canes here to show, you know, what's good, what's bad, what's ugly, et cetera, et cetera. So it worked out really well. So Chris then finished writing that Monday after Easter, I met a friend at the range. He and his wife took First Steps pistol with Gun for Hire. This time he brought his sons to shoot. His 17-year-old handled the AR like a pro, hand-eye coordination, and shot some tight groups. His 12-year-old started with a .22 rifle, shot a .22 pistol, and their dad sampled shotgun shooting. A good time was had by all. Gun for Hire is truly a family place. The range safety officer was wonderful, ready to help when asked, but never got in the way. Just one question now. The RSO said that a New Jersey shotgun magazine capacity was limited to 6 rounds. It was my understanding that this is true of semi-auto shotguns, but there is no capacity limit on pump action shotguns. Charlie?
No, no capacity on pumps.
No capacity on pumps. We knew that the RSO might have just spoke at a turn. So, Chris, I want to know who it was. I'm not going to fire him. We just want to make sure we edumacate him, okay? What's the capacity for semi-auto?
6 rounds.
6 rounds for semi-auto. Pump, if you can have a magazine tube that protrudes 16 feet from the muzzle of the gun, you know, you can have whatever you want.
Little training wheels. Can you imagine that?
And then Chris wrapped it up with, my friend is a fan of semi-auto shotguns, but as I recall, you and Jimmy are not. Please share your thoughts on semi-auto versus pump. Well, Chris, I can tell you this right here.
Semi-auto for home, for protection?
Yeah, because semi-autos jam, and when they jam, you got to throw them.
Right.
Okay. A pump, if it jams, you can pump your way out. Charlie, am I correct? Almost all special forces, Marines, SEALs, they carry pump shotguns.
Pump shotguns.
Chris, I know you have some issues, you know, with a little dexterity or whatever, but if a semi-auto jams, sometimes
Don't they make
they
handles?
To...
You could use like a protruding handle
to
pump.
No, he's hooked up. He has a 20-gauge. He has the miniature Mossberg. The Mossberg, what's it, the 510?
510.
Right, the 510. He's good. Nice. He's good. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that semi-auto, sometimes we get semi-autos that jam in the range. Charlie, they have to be disassembled, right? He's got to disassemble, take the nut off the magazine tube, slide the barrel off the gun. You can't have it. I took NRA law enforcement instructor classes up in Connecticut or Rhode Island or something a few years ago, and we had 16 shotguns on the line, and we had 14 pumps and 2 semi-autos, and the 2 semi-autos ran into issues where they were jammed. They had to come off the line. They had to be disassembled. And one of them was a Benelli.
Oh, okay. Man.
One
so
was a Benelli,
cheap.
One was a Remington. Wow. Yeah. I don't trust them. Charlie, what would you prefer in a defense situation?
870.
He likes a Remington 870, Mossberg 500. I always go back, if everybody in the house, the primary users of the firearm, is right-handed, get a Remington 870, because the safety is designed for a right-handed person. It's on the trigger guard, and it's right-handed setup. If anyone in your house is left-handed, like if your wife's left-handed and you're right-handed, a Mossberg platform, because the safety is neutral. It's on the top of the receiver.
Centered, yeah.
I recommend getting the oversized button from Brownells, though, because the button is small, and if your hand is a little sweaty, the neural button to put the safety on
the
and
part?
Off, yeah, you can slip off of it, especially with gloves. Brownells makes a oversized button. It's one screw, right? Take it
one
off.
Screw,
one screw, a little nail polish, a Loctite, put the new screw in, and you're good to go. I've been recommending that to people for years. I also recommend that for home defense shotgun, 20-gauge is good. You don't need a massive ballistic 12-gauge, especially if anybody in the house is elderly, doesn't have a lot of upper body strength, is a petite female, is a, you know, an 18 or 19-year-old that's living in the house, go with the 20-gauge. I get a lot of guys come here, they're like, wow, I shot my 12-gauge for the first time, and it blew my shoulder off, you know? I'm not going to shoot it anymore. You know, I'm just going to load it and keep it for home defense. That's fine, but first thing I say to them is you should have got a 20-gauge.
Yeah. I mean, why
you
do
agree,
that?
You agree, Charlie?
20-gauge is real good for the home defense.
Right. Would you rather your wife have a 12-gauge or a 20-gauge? Your wife's what, 5'1"?
5'1".
Yeah.
Small frame.
We don't say weight. Small frame. Good. Because you'll get killed. Go ahead.
20-gauge is good. My home gun that she practices up there is a 12 only because we have bear on the property.
Okay. You don't want to piss the bear off with a 20.
No.
Now, see, same thing with me, too. I mean, my wife is tiny, but and I'm in the process of putting a shotgun into the mix. But I, you know, I reload my own 12-gauge shells, and I have 12. I don't have 20 around, and I'm not sure I really want the 20 around because a 20 will fit into a 12.
You don't want to commingle ammo.
Yeah. No.
What Sandy's saying is you could slide a 20 into a 12-gauge shotgun. It'll go down the barrel, and then if you put a 12-gauge round behind it, you just created
surprise.
A bomb.
Yeah,
that's always a problem. You don't want to intermingle ammunition. You want to be really careful with it. But that's what I recommend, Chris. 20-gauge pump action shotgun. That's why we don't like semi-auto shotguns, because semi-autos have a tendency to jam, and you really don't want a gun like that to jam on you. You want to make sure that you can pump your way out of it. And I've never had a pump action where I couldn't pump my way out of it. Charlie, have you?
No, not at all.
You can always pump that elevator open and eject a round and load a new round into it. Now, we're talking about ammunition here. We get so many questions. I always revert back to this story. We teach a lot of professional people, and I had a doctor once say something to me. He was a plastic surgeon. He specialized in hands. He worked on people's hands. And he held up a 45 round in a class he was taking with me, a private class, and he says, I have to ask you a question. He goes, is there any way that this can blow up in my hand? Mm. And, you know, that's a legitimate question, yeah. Because if he loses his fingers, he loses
his whole life.
He drove a Porsche 911 Turbo, and the license plate was Nip Tuck.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so, you know, the guy probably made big bucks. His first name's Daniel, by the way. He's a Gun for Hire alumni. But ever since then, I've used that story because we kind of take it for granted. You know, we can put ammo in a dump pouch or whatever else, but a professional is worried that it's going to blow up in his hand.
Dude, I'm telling you, when I first learned to use a handgun, and it was in the service, it was in the public health service, and I was frightened to load the magazine because you had the bullet was facing the inner palm on my right hand, and I'm jamming it back, afraid that it was going to strike the back of the magazine, hit the primer, and blow off my hand. It was a rational fear I felt at the time until I learned more about firearms.
Charlie, what say you on ammo blowing up, unsolicited?
Anything's possible. I had an old style reloading machine where once the cartridges were loaded, they would go to the last stage of the reloading machine and then drop through the machine to a box below. Remember the old Star machine?
Yes.
I had one go through that, and the ammunition box below that would collect the loaded rounds of ammo, I heard a pop. It wasn't a loud pop, and I smelled powder. I looked, and one of the cartridges had fell into the box just below the machine, and it ignited when it hit the primer.
So one of the tips of the other bullets hit the primer, popped.
Yep.
NORC police qualify in a gravel off the Remus Ave.
Sure.
One of the instructors told us a story a few years ago. One of the students dropped the bullet. The bullet fell, primer down, hit the corner of a rock, primer ignited, bullet came up and went through the bottom of his jaw.
Really?
Uh-huh. Now, it didn't have enough ballistic because it wasn't supported by the breech. It didn't have a barrel and rifling and everything. But the bullet lobbed its way up and went through his jaw and lodged in the roof of his mouth.
Wow.
Early retirement for him.
I really wouldn't have thought that it would have had that much pressure.
Me either. What's North carry? 40 cals. Yeah, they went from a 9 to a 40, right? Yeah, they carry a SIG 40.
Is it SIG?
Yeah, they switched from 9 to 40. Yeah. Remember, they had the guy in the shootout had 9s in his 40.
Yeah.
That's how I remember. The gun wouldn't eject. He had a hand eject every round out of the SIG.
Again, they'll fit.
Yeah, they fit, but it wasn't a good thing. So you have to be careful. If you reload your ammo, like Charlie's talking about too, your primers have to be flush or slightly recessed.
Yeah.
If they're protruding, you know, you could drop a primer and it can go off. Charlie, I want to talk about ammo do's and don'ts, storage and reloading and everything when we come back. You have two full segments, baby.
Tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250 pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day, she was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
It away.
Where's my hammer?
No. Your hammer.
You don't get the
I hammer. I had my hammer yesterday.
You took your hammer
Hammer time. I got the hammer and Sandy's wearing those parachute pants.
Parachute pants.
From MC Hammer days.
Speaking
of parachute pants, this segment is brought to you by Philadelphia Firearm Training.
Jose Morales.
Jose Morales. Philly. GunTraining.com. Jose was on the show last week. He thanked us for having him on. PhillyGunTraining.com.
Downtown Schenectady.
Downtown Schenectady. Susquehanna.
Susquehanna.
Next to the hat company.
Right next to the hat company. So, we just lost half of the audience under 40.
Oh, yeah. So, Jose, Philly Gun Training, he's moving to Bigger Digs right next door. He has a beautiful boutique.
10 times the size, he said last week.
God bless him.
Absolutely.
He's a good dude. And he teaches everything from A to Z, including saber mace, whatever you want, lipstick bodyguard. He has them there. Yep. He has some other shirts and stuff that you'll find really cool. So, PhillyGunTraining.com. PhillyGunTraining.com. Check him out. So, Charlie, what's your history? Tell us a little bit about your history with guns and ammo and stuff, because I learned about guns from Charlie. That's how I got into it. He learned it at me.
So he ruined your life, and then you ruined my life in turn.
Exactly.
Was, was it ruined or corrupted him?
Yeah.
I like them both. I like them both. Go ahead.
Started 64 to 74 is my first happenstance around guns. My father owned a gun shop in the town of Belleville, and it was a small... You know, mom and top pop type store.
That would be kind of cool growing up like that.
Growing up in the gun shop, it was great. Always around guns, and he taught me about guns, taught me well about them. He used to reload. That's where I got my reloading experience initially. He used to reload for the local police department there, and we did the reloading in the basement. We were casting our own bullet heads in the basement of this gun shop. Not like the lead affected me at all, but...
Oh, it did.
He used to pay me by the coffee can to size the lead bullets, and I had to resize them, and then he would load them.
And you guys followed all the EPA guidelines with lead back then, right? Oh, you washed your hands with D-lead soap.
Sure.
And you didn't eat, drink, or smoke anything.
Yeah.
No, not at all. The time we had a progressive press. It was a Star progressive machine. We had two of them down there in the basement. We used to load 38s on them. And then we would deliver the ammunition to the police department, and once in a while we'd get to go shoot with them. And
a progressive press, so for those who don't know, is every pull of the handle, you get a new bullet.
Yep. Correct. It rotates through on a carrier, so it's not like a single-stage press where you have to do primers first and then heads next and then, you know, seat them next. Progressive, every pull of finished bullet comes off the other end.
It was quick. It was efficient. It was effective. It was progressive for the time. Some guys are still using the Star machines.
There's nothing wrong with them.
No.
Dylan has kind of taken over.
Dylan are fabulous machines. I have a couple of them. And then we'd bring the ammunition to the police department and to the basement of the municipal stadium where they would shoot.
Wow.
Right into the wall of the stadium, and it was a dirt floor, and I remember bringing ammo down there, and that's where I first started shooting, was in the basement of the municipal stadium. And I can remember going down there, and there's no ventilation at all. Absolutely nothing. And, you know, cement stairs, cement walls.
Wow.
In the basement. And
who needed ventilation?
Yeah. Or ear protection.
Oh, no, ear protection, nothing. Nothing wow. In ear protection. Shooting smoky 38 loads.
Oh.
I remember the cops standing around.
Bullseye ammo.
Smoking as they're shooting.
But they would have been
smoking cigarettes.
They would have been smoking when they were drawing their gun anyway. Yeah, so why not practice the right way?
A donut in one hand, the cigarette in the other. And you had to drop one of them so the cigarette went.
Oh, no. But that was my initial start of reloading back then, learning how each component went into the cartridges and how the cartridges were made and performed each function and what they did and how a cartridge worked.
What are the benefits for reloading?
Right now, you have to negate the price of the machine itself when you're going to say, I'm going to start reloading because I can make ammunition for a lot cheaper. Because initial setup will cost you anywhere from $750 to $1,500, depending upon the machine you want to get and the components you want to use. But right now, I've paid for my machines multiple times over. One of the machines I have was a gift from Anthony years ago. And right now, I can make a box of 45 ACP cartridges for about $8 a box.
That's material, not time. Yes. See, you have to remember your time is important.
Absolutely.
Now, if you're like Charlie, where I'm paying him while he's reloading, it's okay for him because he's making money.
Yeah,
on
he's making
it, right?
Money, sure.
Exactly. But the average
takes
person.
An hour a bullet.
You know, by the way, Sophia Newport, Billy Newport, if you're listening to this, because I sponsor you as a competitive shooter, I got you another spackle bucket with about 10,000 rounds of brass, all cleaned and pocketed and sized and polished and everything and ready to go. So, Charlie, you've been doing this for over 35 years, retired cop. You're an NRA certified instructor in everything. You're the only one that teaches our reloading classes. Charlie does private reloading classes and group reloading classes. He even goes as far like Bill Abasian. He went to his house and set him up.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Charlie and I were talking off the air before you came into the studio, and I said, one of the things that I wish, I got into shotgun reloading, and one of the things I wish I had at that point was a face-to-face instructor, because there's so many things that you can get out of a book or worse, even a YouTube video or something like that. And unless it's a person who actually knows and has done this for a long time, there's a bunch of questions that pop into your head, and you don't really even know who to trust sometimes. Where do I keep my powder? Can I keep it in a garage? Do I keep it close to my primers? Do I keep it far away from my primers? Where can I safely store that? How much, where's the best place to get this? Where's the best place to get that? And then when you figure, even from shotgun standpoints, each load that you do, I load 7/8 shot because I shoot trap, and I want to be kind to my shoulders. And what is the best load? What is the best powder combination? Because each primer, correct, Charlie? Each primer, each powder, and each wad combination all have different, you can get different velocities, different pressures.
Oh, absolutely. a quick story about a cartridge that a friend of mine, Vinny, had, 6.5 JDJ. Both of us had a barrel and 6.5 JDJ, and we worked up loads for it, and we said, let's see how accurate it is. And my load came out, and it was phenomenally accurate. And his load, he couldn't get it tight as group as I could. The only difference between the two loads, between the two of us, we used the same powder, the same bullet, the same cartridge case. The only thing different that he used was the primer.
Wow.
And that was the deciding factor on his accuracy versus my accuracy. Once he changed to the same primer I had, and we worked at the same load and the same powder weight, his groups tightened right up. But amazing. The primer was the one element that threw his accuracy way off.
And that's a lot of, you know, I find, forget the savings. To me, reloading is about, I don't know, it's kind of like a head thing. It's something I can do, go into a room all by myself, just sit there, pull the handle.
Some people like it for relaxation. Yeah.
I mean, all the problems of the day just seem to disappear, you know?
One of the things I like to say is I haven't fired a factory loaded cartridge out of any of my firearms, and I can't remember how long, you know? Aside from 22 rim fires,
yeah,
I can't reload 22 rim fires, but a factory loaded cartridge, I haven't fired out of any one of my guns in I can't remember how long. I haven't bought a box of bullets, you know, loaded cartridge, loaded ammunition, and I don't remember how long.
Wow. Which is a great thing, too, because with the scarcity of ammunition, if you've got the components, you can make your own, and then you can also get to control what that bullet is going to do.
So Charlie reloads everything, but again, I use Bill Bajan, but there's been quite a few people where he's gone to their houses and set up their equipment with them and then inspected their first couple bullets that came off and then had them come to the range and shoot them.
Yeah, it's really important. You know, but one of the things I find that I'm glad you brought that up, Ben, is the fact that that full circle thing is kind of really cool. I remember the first time I shot the first cartridge I made. And it was just like a complete cycle where I shot this, I went, I reloaded it, it came back, and I shot it again. I made this thing. Yeah. So it was really kind of cool.
It's an accomplishment.
It's an accomplishment, yeah. It's kind of, it's just a really nice hobby, I guess you would call it. You could make a hobby out of this sort of
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. I do it for relaxation.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I definitely do.
See, I don't have time for it anymore.
No,
and I
no,
used to
yeah.
enjoy it when I was younger.
Yeah.
Again, other reasons to reload. You got like Sophia Newport, and she reloads because of accuracy.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
She has the head that works for her, the cast head. She has the brass. She has the primer. She has the powder. Her and her dad have the mixture. She wants the same load every time. She wants the consistency. She wants to make sure it's going to feed properly, it's going to eject properly, and they're all going to hit at the same level. We don't want, you know, we don't want random stuff. You don't want to buy, you know, Eastern European or Chinese ammo or something where the load might be slightly different. The quality is a little different on each one. So, Charlie, you know, talking about reloading, so there's rifle ammo normally is reloaded on a single stage press, though, right?
Yes.
And explain what a single stage press is for people that don't know. As soon as we come back, we're done. Holy
oh, well, we got about another 2 minutes or so.
We had another segment. No.
Nope.
No. We need to have Charlie back on.
Yeah, this was
I can't
great.
Believe that we're done. Holy moly. Guys, Evan Knappen, May 8th, all right? The next Kane class, May 17th. We have basic first aid, trip planning, hemorrhage control, emergency response for the RSO, adult CPR, home defense shotgun. Listen to me. Home defense shotgun is Tuesday, May 12th. Great class. Protective pen, May 24th. What I want people to do is, next week is Alexander Rubian on the show. I think the week after is Kevin Reeder for Wilderness First Aid, et cetera, et cetera. Questions to Charlie, ammo-related, reloading-related questions, anything like that, email him to talkback@gunforhireradio.com, and Charlie will come on the show and answer all the questions, please. Charlie, say goodnight, Charlie.
Say goodnight, Charlie.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Colandro, Charlie Padula, thank you so much for coming in, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. We just want to let you know, remind you that If you order two Lipstick Bodyguards, you get a Gun for Hire Radio bumper sticker, I Will Not Comply bumper sticker, a $3 value courtesy of those folks. And we want you to be safe out there. Please, each one reach one. Tell somebody about the show. Introduce somebody about shooting. And let's get together behind this recall of Mr. Sweeney. We'll talk to Alexander next week, so stay tuned. Say goodbye, Winston. See you next week.